Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. They went through heaps, didn't they? And they still rejected. And so we'll continue with that next week. And if I can find my message, I've titled my message, Yehovah's People Are to Worship Him. Another word for worship is to serve Him. Because as we serve Him, that is our worship to Him as well. But it was on this parasha, Va'era, which means I, Yehovah, appeared in 1999, that Beit Gan Eden had its first ever service. Today we are commencing, as I said earlier, our 23rd reading of the Torah. And I praise Yah that He appeared to me and gave me the instructions, the order of service, the mission statement, the statement of purpose, etc. And He's continued teaching me through these past 23 years. Yehovah gave it to me, but then I had to give it to Malachi. Because we had to be in agreement. We had to be in one accord. And Malachi is my spiritual head. As a woman, I have to be submissive to him. That was the oath I took, the covenant I made when I married him. We started very slowly, only 5 or 6 people at first. And then Hasatan put obstacles in our path, especially in my path, over the first 9 years. 7 of those 9 years were a season of extremely bad health for me. I was in perfect health before we started, and then Hasatan attacked. In the second year, I had Bell's palsy. For 7 years, I had fibromyalgia, and this lingered until I was diagnosed with cancer. Not wanting to go down the chemo track, I had the cancer cut out, and then I went on 6 weeks of no normal food, just a special juice that I got from Switzerland that can be obtained from Flannery's, and herbal teas. That regime not only rid me of my cancer, but it rid me of fibromyalgia, most of it. I still get sessions where it attacks, but on the whole, I'm pretty good. I want you to know that Malachi carried me those whole 9 years. I would go to work, come home, go to bed. Come to shul, go home, go to bed. Sleep all day Sunday, get up Monday, go to work, come home, go to bed. That's all I could do. I would walk around holding onto walls because I couldn't hold my body up, even when I was at work. I might be the upfront person here on Shabbat, but what Malachi does behind the scenes, there is nothing that compares. You know, I do nothing that compares with what he does. So, you know, I want everyone to acknowledge him because, you know, without him, Beit Gan Eden doesn't run. You wouldn't have a newsletter. You wouldn't have all the BAS statements of the financial statements and all the things that have to go into the government to keep running us as a charity without him. He does it all. And I really appreciate it, and I just pray that you will too. So let's get back to our message. I had to say that. He's been doing it for 23 years now. And that's a long time. It's amazing time. And I'm sure he didn't take that on when he first married me. It was only after we'd been married 9 years that we started Bakegun Eden. So that's why I had to go with him with it, and he had to agree with it. We worked out who was who in the zoo, and off we started. And then Harsatan attacked, as I said. But we're still going, we're still running, and we will keep going as long as we can. But let's have a look at what we read today in Shemot Exodus. In verse 7, chapter 7 and verse 16. And it says, "You shall say to him, Yehovah, the Elohim of the Hebrews, has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, so that they may serve me in the wilderness, or worship me. But see, until now, you have not listened." And further down in Shemot 8, verse 1, it says, "And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, and he said, go to Paro and say to him, thus says Yehovah, let my people go, so that they serve me. Now I believe that we are all Yehovah's people. We are all created in his image. Why would Yehovah differentiate between the Mitzrayim, or the Egyptians, and the Hebrews, calling them my people? Why did he call the Hebrews my people and not the Mitzrayim?" So who are Yehovah's people? First of all, let us look at some general references as to how to recognize people through the scripture. If we go to Shemot chapter 19 and verse 5, they are called my treasured possession. It says, "And now if you diligently obey my voice, and you shall guard my covenant," that is his Torah, "then you shall be my treasured possession above all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." Everyone listening online, everyone sitting in this room, are Yehovah's treasured possession. Take hold of that. Don't lose it. I want you to note that they had to pay careful attention to what Yehovah said, where we have to pay careful attention to the scriptures and the Torah of Moshe. They had to keep Yehovah's covenant. But what is his covenant? His covenant is the Torah of Moshe as observed by Yeshua. Not that observed by the Pharisees or the rabbis of today. Then they were chosen by Yehovah. In Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2, it says, "For you are a set apart people." What are you? You're a set apart people to Yehovah your Elohim, and Yehovah has chosen you all to be a people for himself, a treasured possession above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The children of Abraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov were set high above all other nations. And we learn this in Devarim, or Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 19. It says, "So as to set you high above all the nations which he has made, for a praise and for a name and for esteem, and for you to be set apart people to Yehovah your Elohim, as he has spoken." Yehovah's people were set apart to be a holy people. They could not be like the Mitzrayim or the Egyptians or the Greeks or even assimilate within the diaspora. They were to retain their observance of the Torah of Moshe from the time it was given until to this very day into eternity. Shemuel the prophet said in Shemuel Aleph, or 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 22, "For Yehovah would not cast away his people for his great name's sake, seeing it has pleased Yehovah to make you his people. Yehovah's people in Shemuel's day were no different to the Jews in Israel or the diaspora today. They were far away from the Torah and the covenant that they made with Yehovah at Mount Sinai, and Shemuel was trying to bring them back to a place of being a set-apart people to worship Yehovah. Yehovah wants to guide or shepherd us as his chosen ones, and as a shepherd would guide his flock of sheep. In Tehillim, Psalm 78, verse 52, it says, "Then made his own people go forth like sheep, and led them in the wilderness like a flock." And also in Tehillim, Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know that Yehovah, he is Elohim. He has made us, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." Are you allowing Yehovah to be your shepherd? Are you being submissive to his scriptures? Are you one of the flock? Or are you trying to stand out from the flock so that people will notice you before they notice the shepherd? It's the shepherd that is important, Yeshua. Yeshua is our shepherd, and we must look to his actions in how to shepherd our flock. Yehovah's people were prepared for service. In the days before Yeshua, or even Yochanan the Immerser, were born, the Hebrew people had turned away from Yehovah. They were not following the Torah of Moshe, and the laws of the Perishim were far harsher than the Torah. The purpose of Yochanan's life was to be a servant of Yehovah. He was born to prepare the way for Yeshua. In Luke 1 and verse 17, it says, "And he, Yochanan, shall go before him in the spirit and in the power of Eliyahu, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the insight of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for Yehovah." And Acts 15, verse 14, tells how the Goyim, or the non-Hebrews, were also chosen to be a holy people through their belief in Yeshua and by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. In chapter 15, verse 14, it says, "Shimon has declared how Elohim first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." No longer is it just for the Hebrew people to observe the Torah of Moshe, but all of the Goyim who believed that Yeshua was crucified, rose again to be with the Father, and were immersed, and are also called a people to bear his name. In other words, a called out people, a set apart people, a holy people. To be called out of sin, they had to be observant of the covenant that the Hebrew people made with Yehovah on Mount Sinai. As believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, whether Hebrew or Goyim, we are Yehovah's chosen ones, and therefore are called out to be characterized by our zeal for him. In Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Looking for the blessed expectation and esteemed appearance of the great Elohim, our Saviour Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people, his own possession, ardent for good works." Lawlessness is a synonym for sin. Torahlessness, because without the Torah, we do not know what sin is. It's Torah that shows us what sin is. When we violate Torah, that is when we sin. To me, this scripture is very clear. Yeshua gave his life not just to free us from the Torah of sin and death, but also from the so-called law of the Perashim. The law of the Parashim is not Torah, which violated the Torah of Moshe that was given at Mount Sinai. The Torah was no different to the was no different to the Torah followed by Orthodox Jews today. And that's why Yochanan tried to get them out of that Torahlessness. The only Jews who do not observe the Mishnah, the Gemara, and the Talmud are the Karaite Jews and the Messianic Jews. I believe most Messianic Jews are still on the learning curve and getting it right, as most have come out of either the corruption of the Orthodox Jews or the corruptions of the teachings of the Christian Church. Neither believe that the Torah of Moshe is for today. But Yehovah never said that. Praise Yehovah for his grace as we learn to do his will to the best of our ability as he continues to refine us and to teach us. All of Yehovah's people should have the Torah written on their hearts. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. Giving my laws in their mind, I shall write them upon their heart. I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Notice it is in their minds, not in a box on their head. The tefillin that they wear, the box on the head and the things around their wrists, is not what Yehovah instructed them to do. He said, I will put it in their minds and write it on their hearts. This promise is yet to be fulfilled for the people of Israel, at this stage for most, especially in the Israel of today. Yehovah is not their God, and they are not his people. This is one thing we must pray daily for, that this prophecy will be fulfilled. When Shaul wrote these words to Timothy from prison, there was no written word as we know of it today. Those zealous for Yeshua at the time of Shaul had the words written on their hearts so they could tell it to others. In 2 Timothy 2, chapter, verses 8 to 10, it says, remember that Yeshua HaMashiach of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my good news, for which I suffer hardship as a criminal unto chains, but the word of Elohim is not chained. So I endure through it all for the sake of the chosen, so that they too obtain deliverance, which is in the Messiah Yeshua, with everlasting esteem. And in the words of Yeshua to Yochanan the Apostle in Revelation 21 verse 3, it says, and I heard a loud voice from the heavens saying, the booth of Elohim is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim shall be with them and be their Elohim. Now, the booth is another word for tabernacle. And for Yehovah to tabernacle with us, we have to be zealous for him and for his covenant that he made with his people so that we can also be his chosen ones. Yehovah's people were chosen to serve him. From our original scriptures, from the readings today, it said, let my people go so that they can serve me, or they can worship me in some translations. Yehovah demands spiritual service from those he has chosen, and these commands are for us this very day. In Shemot Exodus 23 and verse 25, just a moment, yep, it says, and you shall serve Yehovah your Elohim, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I shall remove sickness from your midst. There is a condition attached to this demand which brings a blessing. He will remove sickness from our midst. I believe that when I was sick during those first 9 years of running Beit Gan Eden, it was a test. It was a test of whether I would give up and go against all my Christian friends that were trying to stop me from doing this, or should I continue, no matter what people said, no matter what happened in my life, that I would continue to serve him as he had directed me. And it was by Yehovah's direction that we started Beit Gan Eden. So there was no way I was going to give up. I've persevered through many things in my life. This was just one of them. So there is a condition attached to the demand which brings a blessing. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 10, 12, verses 12 to 14, it says, "Now Yisrael, what is Yehovah your Elohim asking of you but to fear Yehovah your Elohim, to walk in all of his ways and to love him, to serve Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being, to guard the commands of Yehovah and his laws which I command you today for your good. See, the heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to Yehovah your Elohim, also the earth with all that is in it." And in Yehoshua chapter 12, or Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, it says, "Now fear Yehovah, serve him in perfection and in truth, and put away the mighty ones which your father served beyond the river and in Mitzrayim, and serve Yehovah." What gods do we have in our lives that need to be dealt with? Who or what is taking precedence over Yehovah in our life? Where do we spend most of our money? That's often a clue as to where our heart lies. And I'm not talking the money that we spend on general living, on food, on housing, on shelter, etc. I'm talking about that spare money that we have. Where do we put it? What do we spend it on? That will often tell us where our heart is in relation to Yehovah. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9, these are the words by King David to his son Shlomo. "As for you, my son Shlomo, know that Elohim of your father, know the Elohim of your father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a pleasing life. For Yehovah searches all hearts and understands all the intended thoughts. If you do seek him, he is found by you. And if you forsake him, he rejects you forever." We know that Shlomo did not follow these words of his father and sought the pagan gods of his wives. He had over 1,000 wives and concubines. I don't know how he did it. He therefore suffered the consequences. I believe the key words in this verse are "serve him with a perfect heart." We can serve Yehovah as much as we want. We can look good on the outside, but unless it is done with a pure heart and a perfect heart, with no ulterior motive, it is all for naught. We have to serve him with a pure heart. In Tehillim, Psalms chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Serve Yehovah with fear and rejoice with trembling." This fear is a reverential fear. It is the knowledge that Yah knows all, sees all, hears all. He knows my thoughts before I do, and therefore I will be judged accordingly on the day of judgment. Tehillim, Psalms chapter 100 and verse 2 says, "Serve Yehovah with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." That's why we like to start with singing every Shabbat. When you love him, it's not hard to serve him with gladness. Even if you are in a situation a job or health challenge that is not ideal, if your attitude is one of serving Yehovah with gladness, one can cope with the situation. Remember, everything is for a season, and I can assure you the season will pass and the blessings will flow. I want to encourage you with this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, and I'm going to add to the scriptures today, and I'm going to say, and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Master, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Master. And I'll conclude with this final scripture in Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, receiving an unshakable reign, let us hold the favour through which we serve Yehovah Elohim pleasingly with reverence and awe. We are Yehovah's chosen people, just as the children of Abraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov were in Mitzrayim. We are subject to the Torah of Moshe today, as they were when it was given in the wilderness. But we have a but. We are even more privileged, as we have the benefits of Yeshua and his saving grace, as well as the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh. Because we have Yehovah tabernacling within us, have him in our hearts, we are better equipped to fear him and not turn to other gods. We are also blessed to live in a country where we can serve him without repercussions from man. So if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to ask them. Answer them, sorry, if you want to ask them. Anyone got any questions? No, don't tell me I explained that very well. Let's move on to the remembrance service.